Welcome to The Digital Brew,
a podcast about making your business more awesome online.
I'm Angela, a copywriter, here with my husband, Stu, a web designer.
It's time to pour yourself a cuppa and let's get started.
Hello, and welcome to episode 8 of The Digital Brew podcast. In this episode, we'll be talking about admin, accounting, and legal stuff. So definitely pour yourself a big cuppa for this one, something caffeinated with a side of sugar, ideally, unless you're one of those rare people who gets excited by this stuff. But before we get into it, let's just have a little catch up with how we've been over the last few weeks, shall we? What have you been up to?
Well, we're going on holidays in a week, and the area we're going to currently has a bushfire, and the road is blocked to get in there, so...
Yeah, there's one road in, one road out, and there's just like... shrubs and trees everywhere, so who knows what's going to happen.
Hopefully the town doesn't get affected too much by it.
Hopefully the fire's out by the time we go on holidays, but who knows with all these fires that are going on around Queensland and New South Wales at the moment. It's pretty hectic, strong winds at the moment, so it's not looking too good. Fingers crossed, though. So other than that, what have we been up to? Stu turned... Oh, I won't say how old you are, should I? You turned 28.
You didn't really give me a chance to say yes or no, but...
Getting closer to 30.
Life is practically over at that point.
It is. Getting old.
I feel like we just offended most of the people listening to this, all three of them. What a shame.
And our oldest child turned 4 a couple of weeks ago. Bought him a bike, which he already hates, to throw in the bin. The Digital Brew has been live for nearly a month now, which is pretty exciting.
Has it been a month?
Yeah, nearly. Maybe 3 weeks. I don't know. Feels like it's been a while. We're starting to look forward to 2020 already. I think a lot of businesses are wrapping up already this time of year. So everyone's just going on holidays and, it feels like 2019 is pretty much over already.
Yeah.
Anyway, enough chit-chat, hey? Okay, so admin, accounting, and legal. So yes, when we first set up our business, we were definitely not the smart people, and we kind of ignored that whole side of things. We were very much figuring it out as we went along. And I should say not this business, not the Digital Brew, not like 3 weeks ago, our first business, which was like 5 or 6 years ago now. Oh my goodness, that's a while ago. Back then we were young, we were stupid, and we kind of ignored our responsibilities a little bit. And it meant that we didn't really know much about the thing, admin, accounting, legal stuff, and therefore we just weren't really doing it. But you know what they say about taxes?
In this world, nothing could be said to be certain except death and taxes. By Benjamin Franklin.
That was beautiful. So anyway, if you plan to set up a new business and make money, you'll definitely need to figure out some of the boring stuff, ideally before you get started. Don't put it off or it'll build up and become scarier than it is. Trust me, I've been there. So for the Digital Brew, what admin, accounting, and legal stuff did we put in place? So first things first, we had to figure out our business structure. So there's like sole trader, proprietary limited, trust, etc. I don't really know what the other ones are. Okay, so we don't really know a lot about this stuff, to be honest. Our thought process has always been to keep things as simple as possible, with whatever makes sense for the amount of money we plan to earn and other future goals, like, buying a house and things like that. So we really started out by setting things up under Stu's existing sole trader ABN. Australian business number for anyone who happens to be out of Australia listening. Because this seemed like the simplest option for us. It's simple because of how you can structure the funds. You don't have to pay yourself a salary or super as an employee. There's a few other sort of admin-y things that you have to do when you're a company versus a sole trader. So we were able to not do those things. But after we talked to our accountant, we actually ended up going with a trust structure, set up in both our names. So honestly, we don't really understand everything behind this, but it definitely made sense at the time when she explained it to us. And pretty much from what we understand, it's similar flexibility to sole trader, which works for us.
So there are a bunch of government-y type processes that you have to go through to make things official. First, you need to set up an ABN. Once you know which business model you're going to go with, or check that your existing ABN is up to date with the correct contact information and location. If you know that you're going to be earning above that amount that I can't think of right now, you need
$75,000.
There you go. You need to register for GST. Start the trademarking process for the business name. So you want to do this to protect the brand, just in case someone does it down the track and then you lose rights to your brand name. We plan to stick with this brand indefinitely, and so we wanted to make things future-proof, so we started the trademarking process right from the beginning.
And we don't have our trademark through yet, but it's sort of processing and hopefully early next year.
Yeah, it takes a while.
It does.
And you want to purchase the business name from ASIC. We'd already purchased the name through ASIC under my ABN, so we actually had to transfer it to the new trust that we'd set up, which was quite painful. It took about a month to do, and the government made it as difficult as possible. It was so unclear. We ended up doing it the wrong way the first time because we didn't have the correct transfer number because it wasn't clear what the transfer number was, which slowed the whole process down, but we got there in the end.
If you want an example of bad user experience, go on the ASIC website.
Just any government website, I think.
Oh, so bad.
So after that, there's the accounting stuff. You want to find an accountant who understands small business. So there's lots of different accountants out there with different experience. You want to find one that is in the same headspace as a small business. So we set up a meeting with our accountant to talk through all the different structures. And then we set up another meeting to set up the actual trust and get all the paperwork done. She asked us a whole heap of questions to make sure that that this model would be a good fit for what we're doing now, and also that it would continue to work with us into the future. We'll also include a link in the show notes to our accountant's website if you're looking for one too. So then we set up our accounting software. We chose Rounded, and we chose this because it has a lot of features that we'll need. It includes invoicing. It sucks in your bank feed, and I think it supports most, if not all, Australian banks. I don't think it works outside of Australia, though, does it?
I don't think so. It's definitely designed for Australian small businesses, freelancers.
Yeah. It has expense tracking. You can do quotes. You can take credit card payments through it. I assume using Stripe. Mm-hmm. It takes into account GST, and it has a really pretty dashboard with a nice overview.
Yeah.
And I'm a sucker for a good UI. So.
Yeah, it's really great. And it's awesome value for money as well.
They have an app too, which is fantastic. It's not often that you get a really good website and a really good app. And they've managed to pull that off. I don't know why we're getting stuck on this. I just like pretty things.
Rounded have done really well. Highly recommend them. We'll put a link in the show notes to them as well.
And then we had to set up our bank accounts, which I think is still kind of pending because of the whole mess up of the transfer of the business name.
Yep. And then just our bank account. Our bank is really slow.
Our bank is slow. Friendly, but slow.
Yep. We'll get there.
And bookkeeping. So we're doing the DIY route with our bookkeeping. But Rounded makes it quite easy. And we can also get some help from a VA to sort out and upload receipts, which is what I believe we're doing.
Yep. So I already have a VA in the Philippines who helps me with admin tasks here and there. And yeah, we've got a process that we use. Basically, I upload receipts to a folder and she renames them, sorts them out so that they're all nicely dated and coded, and then she attaches them to the expense transaction in Rounded. So it's all nice and neat, and I don't have to do too many of the really fiddly slow bits, which is awesome. Okay, so let's talk about some of the admin stuff now that we've done accounting, and then after that we'll move into legal. Okay, so we had to set up our email accounts. That was one of the early things we did. And I, to be honest, I'm not really too sure about how that's all done. Maybe Stu can talk about it.
Well, it's good to get the email account set up from the beginning because you'll need them down the track to do pretty much everything else. There's a lot of ways you can do it, but I'd mainly suggest don't set up your email accounts through a shared hosting provider. So typically, you know, like GoDaddy or something, if they use cPanel, don't go in and set up your emails under there because it just makes life a pain. Use a service like G Suite or Zoho. We're currently using a company called MXRoute, which is a little bit more techy, and I wouldn't necessarily suggest it if you don't understand how email works. But the main point is to keep your email separate from your hosting, so using a service like G Suite.
And why would you keep your email separate from your hosting?
Chances are you'll probably want to change your hosting provider more than you want to change your email provider. And email isn't really something you want to mess with too often. It's kind of a pain in the butt to move email around. It's not so hard to move hosting around. So if your email is tied into your hosting account and you want to change hosting, then you have to move all your emails off that hosting account. And if you're just changing from web hosting account to web hosting account and you're having to constantly move your emails, it's just a massive pain. So it's easier to keep your website hosting, your emails, your domain, and in some cases even your DNS all on completely separate providers, so that if ever you need to change one of those providers, it's a lot easier to do.
And your DNS, that's where your domain name is purchased and hosted?
No, so your DNS is where all of your DNS records are hosted. So that's, for example, your A record, which would point to your website, your MX records, which point to your emails. We're getting very technical here.
That's good. I like technical.
Your domain, so you'd purchase your domain from somewhere like GoDaddy or Namecheap, or if you're in Australia, somewhere like Venture IP. You could purchase your domain name from there, and you can either, most of them provide DNS services for free, so you can set up all your DNS records within your domain hosting account, or you could use a service like DNS Easy or Cloudflare to host your DNS and keep those separate as well.
Okay, so host everything in separate places.
Yeah.
Cool. So one of the other admin-y things we did was we set up a ticketing system for support requests. So again, I don't really know much about this. Stu is the techie tool guy, as you've probably noticed. So over to you, Stu.
Yeah, so for our ticketing system, we're using a SaaS app called Live Agent. This just allows us to manage all of support requests so that when people send through a support request, it automatically creates a ticket. But there's heaps of, you know, softwares out there that does this. There's free ones and paid ones. We went with Live Agent because we got a cool lifetime deal on it. But there's other ones like Zendesk or Freshdesk, lots of other desks.
Cool. So that could be handy for anyone else in like a service-based business who gets a lot of support requests.
Yeah, you don't want them cluttering up your email. It's easier to get them created as tickets, so you can keep all the conversation within each ticket and then mark them as complete when they're done, or reopen them if you need to.
Nice. Okay, so another admin thing that we can talk about really briefly is insurance. So because we work from home we don't really go to like co-working spaces or anything like that, we just get professional indemnity insurance. So that covers us for if something goes wrong to do with the information on the website, or maybe website goes down, things like that, whole bunch of different things. And we get that through BizCover and we pay that every month. So it's not like a big chunk of money all at once, which is really nice. So I'll put a link to BizCover in the show notes as well. I did look at a bunch of different providers, and I've been with them for my own brand for the last year and a half. And yeah, they've been really good. So I would definitely recommend them if you're checking that out for yourself. And the other admin thing we can talk about is setting up proposal templates for our website packages and our hosting and maintenance packages. So the sections that we've included in those, so we've got the introduction, goals, recommendations, we've got some team profiles, testimonials, package inclusions and options, process, timing, terms and conditions. So yeah, it's pretty much just getting those proposal templates ready to go so that when we get a request, we can just fill in the blanks and send it off without making people wait for too long. Okay, so let's talk about some legal stuff. And this is actually a good segue because the terms and conditions sort of fall under that category, and we did spend a long time working on them. So first things first, we are not lawyers, but we have bought some templates from copywriting folks and website folks, and we kind of smushed them together now that we're collaborating under one brand. Plus, we've done a bunch of research. A lot of websites out there have their terms and their policies publicly viewable, which is awesome. And it's a really great way to see what other people are doing and what terms can apply to your business. For example, we actually uncovered a lot of potential things that could go wrong in a web design and hosting relationship by doing this that we hadn't really thought about before. So that was quite interesting. Oh, by the way, we actually have our policies and terms all linked in the footer of our website if you want to go check them out. So feel free to have a look through them and see if you can grab some ideas. Most welcome to. But yeah, we pretty much just used our brains and wrote up some terms that were a good fit for us. So we're not lawyers, but yeah, at some point it will make sense for us to engage a professional to make sure that everything is enforceable and see what's missing. But you know, at this stage, it's an approach that fits our low budget as a startup. We look at our terms and policies as an information piece so that clients know exactly what they are and aren't getting, which makes things super clear for everyone and hopefully just avoids potential problems and miscommunication and things like that. So we actually spent probably weeks writing and reviewing these over and over and over. It took a long time.
It was probably my fault.
Stu kept going, oh, I just found this other thing that we need to add. And I'd be like, I only just reviewed them. I have to review them again. Because it's my job to make them all sound good, right? As the copywriter, even though I'm not the legal kind of copywriter. Anyway, we won't read through all our T's and C's right now, but we might just run you through the sections in each so that you can get an idea about what's in there and what you might need to include in your own. Okay, so in our terms and conditions for website users, the sections are intro, like limited liability statements. I'm talking about due diligence, image sources, so talking about where we found the images on our site, just to, I guess, really emphasize that no, we did not steal any of these images. And then a copyright notice, so, you know, don't steal things off our site, pretty much. And for our website package clients, the terms and conditions for them, the sections include just outlining the scope, the standard format, which is how they can expect to receive deliverables, fee conditions, so talking about, you know, how much to pay, when we get paid, GST, things like that. What happens if we don't get paid on time, just outlining those expectations. Communication, so how they can talk to us and when they can talk to us, things like that. How they can give us reviews and feedback. How to use Google Docs, because that's quite a big one that I use a lot with the copy. And just making sure that clients know it's their responsibility to download a copy of all the documents that they get, so that if something happens to my Google Docs account at some point in the distant future, they don't go, where's all that copy? So then SEO as well, because this is quite, it's an area that we really need to define when we're delivering search engine optimization. Make sure that clients know exactly what they're getting or what they're not getting. How we deal with outdated browsers for the designs. Intellectual property, so who owns the products that we create. Credit, so talking about whether we can use their put our link in the website footer once we produce the website, once it goes live. Confidentiality, subcontracting, how we handle any extra expenses, plugins and software. That one can get pretty complicated. Do you want to talk a bit about that, Stu?
Yeah, just to do with, I guess, open source software, so GPL license software, and also software that has licenses attached to it for updates, you know, whose responsibility it is if they're on a maintenance plan or if they decide to leave the maintenance plan. So just making sure every single possible scenario is covered in the terms and conditions so people know what happens to the software on the website, depending on which direction the relationship goes.
A whole lot of things that I hadn't really thought about before when I was doing proposals for just copywriting. Apparently websites complicate things a bit. And then another section we've got is pricing changes. So how we handle, I guess, increases to pricing and things like that. Changes to scope, liability, stuff about, you know, we don't publish anything without your approval. How they can terminate the contract, how we can terminate the contract, and then just a general miscellaneous type section. For our hosting and maintenance proposals, it's very much the same sort of terms and conditions. I guess there's more specific information on backing up, so how often we back things up and where it's stored, how we handle malware and viruses, what limits there are on our monthly content updates, and then stuff about plugin, theme, and WordPress core updates, and you know how we check for that and how we make the updates. Stuff about website user roles and access, and then the domain and email hosting, service level agreements, so you know when they can expect to hear from us, and standards for us to respond to their queries and things like that, plus third party or client page modification. So that's what if someone else comes in and changes the design of the page, acceptable use. So that's with the hosting, making sure that people aren't, using too many downloads and things like that. how we treat the development and code, data, space, and server usage, privacy, indemnity, and yeah, just all the same sort of stuff as our other terms and conditions. Finally, the other little legally thing we had to put together nearly at the end was our privacy policy for our website. And I think that it's required for every website to have one of these. So if you don't have one, I would recommend that you get one.
You're breaking the law. Shame on you.
Yeah, I think you are. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, it's by law. You need a privacy policy. There you go. In Australia, at least.
Yeah. So this is actually quite a simple document for us. It includes locations, so where we are, I guess because we're covered under the laws in Queensland, so we have to say something like that, how we collect information and how we store information and how you can update or remove your information, how we use your data, stuff about external links, so just covering ourselves in case something funky goes on with something we've linked to on the website that we don't have control over. And then just some miscellaneous stuff and, you know, what happens when we change our privacy policy. So that sums it up. That's all that hideously boring legal stuff that we had to deal with when launching our brand.
We just subjected all of you to it. You're welcome. All right, time to wrap up the episode. Admin, accounting, and legals are all pretty boring and tedious, but unfortunately, they have to be done. And they're best to be done before you launch your business. Although if you've already launched, then just get on it right away. It's better late than ever. You don't want to get caught out. Get on top of it, tick all the boxes and feel really good about yourself. And if you can afford it, definitely get professional help. So looking at getting an accountant, a lawyer, a bookkeeper, an IP lawyer, and just any other thing you can think of. If you can't afford it, it's good to get good systems and software to do lots of research to help you do the best job that you can for now until you can afford it.
Okay, so if you're still with us, hopefully, and you're not asleep, although if you are asleep and you're trying to fall asleep, you're welcome. But yeah, that's it for today. You made it. So in our next episode, we'll be covering workflow and processes. So another super exciting one, hopefully a little bit slightly more exciting than this one. So we'll catch you then.
Bye. Thanks for listening to The Digital Brew with Ange and Stu.
Make sure you head over to thedigitalbrew.com for more episodes, detailed show notes, resources, and our newsletter.
And if you feel like this episode has helped you make your business more awesome, pop us a review.
We'll catch you next time.